And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portz, I'm with you on a, what the hell is this, Allison? Is this a Wednesday?
Is it? I'm not sure.
And they're all, the days are blending. The Blue Jackets have made they've made some news today, including a splash in free agency. We're going to start there. We've got the draft to get through, a huge trade. Seth Jones traded, Cam Atkinson traded. Jarmo Kekalainen has been a busy man, and the dust hasn't necessarily settled yet. They're still working to add probably a right side defenseman as we record this at 6 in the evening on Wednesday. May not happen today. That defenseman may happen in a couple days or in a week or so. This is free agency today. But the news for today, Blue Jackets sign Dublin, Ohio's Sean Corrali, 4 years, $10 million. It's 2.5 a year, $2.5 million salary cap. Corrali, a fourth or third line center. I think he could be a third line center in Columbus, but an exceptional, exceptional player at the sort of the hard, difficult aspects of this game. Winning faceoffs, great penalty killer. I think only one Bruins player took more defensive zone draws than he did last year on a team with some pretty strong players. Blue Jackets have him for 4 years. Allison, your thoughts on that before I rattle off the other contract news today?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's a bottom two center. But Lord knows the Jackets need help in the middle. So
yeah,
they also know that we also believe we know that this is a team that is slowly going to build back to their most productive selves. So is that maybe okay for now? Maybe. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. And you know what? I'll say this about Mr. Corrali. And I think the folks in Boston know this very, very well. You saw the word underappreciated, used by many people who have watched that team closely through the years. Sean Corrali is the kind of guy that you want on your team. And I almost don't even really care about the depth chart because, as we all know, if we didn't learn it last year, we're never going to learn it. The best plans, the best intentions can be blown sky high a week and a half into the season. I don't know if this kid plays in the fourth line or the third line. But I want this kid, this kind of player, and this kind of person in my room if I'm a general manager.
Okay. Yes.
And so I almost don't even care about the depth chart. But then you start to look at the names down the middle. for the Blue Jackets, and you go, eh, nah, oh, yeah, hurt. Oh, Jenner, is he a winger or is he a center? And I don't think Kiraly necessarily plays in the top six. I know he doesn't, but I'm willing to say he's probably among those group of players. The centerman is the most accomplished centerman on this roster. Again, not a top six guy, but in terms of a veteran player who knows the drill, there's really nobody else on this roster that compares to him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, and it's an interesting pairing in that sense, because often this is a quote-unquote grizzled vet, right? And yeah. So you have someone who's a little younger coming in with that knowledge who, in theory, you know, if things work out, can be along for the ride as right. this team kind of builds back up, not from scratch, but the baseboards, the foundational sure. boards.
That's right. Yeah. Other moves today. Boone Jenner signs a 4-year contract extension worth $15 million. Eric Robinson signs a 2-year contract extension, $3.2 million. These are total, of course, not per year. And those are the extensions. RFAs with new contracts. Patrick Laine accepts his qualifying offer. He'll make $7.5 million next year. And Texier, rather than accept his qualifying offer, has signed a 2-year deal. Two other minor league deals from today. The Blue Jackets signed Gavin Bayreuther. That's right, Gavin Bayreuther. I'm waiting for the Seattle Kraken to thank him for his time. a 2-year contract to Bayreuther. It's a 2-way deal this year and a 1-way deal next year, and also a minor league deal for Tyler Sakura, forward for most likely the Cleveland Monsters. Allison, they you have seen over the last 4 or 5 days here just an incredible amount of turnover with the Blue Jackets. And really, that turnover goes back. I mean, it's been like 110 days, and they've moved out Foligno, Savard, Atkinson, Jones, like four huge parts of what this room was for the last better part of the last decade. Mm-hmm. Can you process all the changes that have happened? Can you get a grip on what this team looks like right now and how different that room might be walking into it in the fall?
I don't think that people will really feel it until they either walk into that room or see that team on the ice, because it's just completely different. You know, we've been so busy, so it's not, I don't know that I've had time to reflect on the state of things, but there have been a few pauses. And I think most notably after we knew the Seth Jones trade was coming, but after the Cam Atkinson trade came, you know, there was kind of a pause in my day of, you know, this is the end of an era. I mean, it really is. This is a new generation of the team. So yeah, I think it's going to be weird. I mean, you know, people who go into that locker room as media, we don't even know where guys sit anymore.
Right.
It's been 2 years, so we don't even know that. It's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out.
I told Foligno, even after he was traded last year, when the Blue Jackets would lose, I was like, I should text Foligno for a comment here, because he's always been the guy to talk after losses.
Yep, exactly. Like,
it's just going to be a different vibe. And I don't want to say there's a vacuum of leadership, but there's an opportunity there that I, and Yarmo really didn't lay out his plans in this respect, but I can understand his thinking. He had a rather strong quote to us the other day explaining why the veterans were all moved out and why the room's going to be so different next year. And his quote was, "We haven't had any parades around here."
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have had their shot, and now we're building it up a different way because it didn't work that way. It's kind of hard to argue with. It's a bit blunt, but it's hard to argue with, Allison.
I'll argue with it.
Oh,
I think it's a little callous, to be honest, to say that. I mean, is it true that there was no parade? Yes, it is true. There was no parade. But I think that there also needs – you know, was anyone happy? No, we know this with what happened and what didn't happen. They wanted more. But I really feel you have to be careful saying something like that, because where this organization was when this core took shape and what they did to the organization, I still think deserves a little bit more respect than maybe that comment conveys, at least to me. That's just my read on it, and maybe I'm wrong. So, you know, I'll say that. And I'll also say, you know, it's interesting. I've been talking to some captains, some former captains, current captains in the league, and, you know, I've asked them this question. I'm like, you know, we all sit here and we say, you know, what's the deal with captaincies and how does it work and is it really a big deal? And, you know, some of the things that people have said to me is it's really not that big a deal. And no one in that room really, it's not like they wait and say, who do we go to? Oh, you're the guy with the letter. Right. That's who we go to. Guys figure out who they can go to for what. And that's how leadership works in the room. And it translates into a lot of what people see on the ice, both in play and you know, on the bench and things like that. That leadership, real leadership, isn't a title. It isn't ordained.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be centered all in one or three people. There can be little pockets of it everywhere. You know, and if we go back to even when Nick Foligno was named captain, honestly, the players clamored for that because they were just sick of having questions asked to them about it. That was the limit. It wasn't because they needed this or, you know, wonderful C put on Nick Foligno's sweater.
Right.
So, you know, I know it's ironic, but for me, I feel like particularly right now, this leadership conversation needs to wait because we don't know what this group is. We don't know how they're going to be asked to play. We don't know how they're going to come together. And all we can do is watch for it and see how it evolves.
Yeah. Well, and we should say this too. When asked today, Jarmo Kekäläinen agreed that Boone Jenner does make sense in a lot of levels as the next captain. He's the longest tenured player. By all accounts, a good guy in the room. But he also said there's really no urgency to do that now.
Right.
They want to wait and see, and it will become apparent who is the captain. Let me say this about your earlier comment and two things. And I agree with him. I want to say that the captaincy, and it's such a weird thing because when you say it too fast, it comes out like the word captaincy. The captain's C is largely ceremonial.
100%.
But because, as you said, guys are going to go to who they go to and who they feel comfortable going to or who they get results from or just the conversation's right for them. But I think it is a organization's outward show of respect to a leader in the room. And so as much as the players didn't like the questions, I really don't think we, after an initial, like, seriously, no captain, I think it kind of died down a little bit. I think the guys in the room started getting pissed off about it because it was also put forth as though nobody to them. As though nobody was deserving of it. So for that, for them, was like, you know what, bullshit. Give us a captain. This has gone on long enough.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll hear that to some point. You know, this is where the thing we've talked about with this organization for way too long now, like, at the end of the day, I think there are many ways to show respect to a player that can be far more meaningful than saying, I respect you. Here's a letter on your jersey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, again, to me, look, if it matters to people, great. If it helps with who, I mean, and this is the other thing, poor Boone. Does Boone really want to be the captain? Does Boone have to be the one to talk to media every day? It doesn't, with all due respect to Boone, that does not strike me as one of his top 2,000 favorite things to do in life.
Correct.
Particularly after a loss. So let's save the poor man some pain and
right.
not make him have to be the one to answer after every loss. And just see how this shakes out.
And one more thought on the we haven't had any parades around here comment. That's also, and I'm not, you got to be careful here. I'm not sure exactly if he, as you said, maybe that deserves some context. It also absolves other people. Mm-hmm. Of blame in the process. In other words, we gave you every opportunity, players, and you didn't get it done, so we're changing. There's been some mistakes made. I think everybody can recognize those. Players that have gotten away, trades that didn't work out, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I don't know many years, honestly, where the Blue Jackets went into the playoffs and you said, this team is uniquely equipped to win a Stanley Cup right now. They were always the underdog. So the blame of the players, I think, goes only, they're ultimately in charge of it, but it only goes so far.
Well, and the flip side of this too is, and you know, we talk about this, and many organizations have this conversation. Who are the greatest players to never win a cup? Right? Oh, so, yeah. I mean, I get it. Again, I get the intention, but if only great players and only great leaders win cups, I mean, then we got a lot of rewriting of history to do here. So, you know, again, and maybe it is because I am still processing that it's the end of an era, but I think you can convey what you're trying to convey a little differently. And the people who were here should be remembered for what they did do, acknowledging it wasn't enough, but they did a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So that's today. That's a lot for one day, by the way.
Yes, I'm tired. Can we finish now?
I mean, boy, did Yarmo pulled out some contracts and got the business these last couple of days.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So let's get to the big events of over the weekend. Two of the biggest or at least more prominent trades in franchise history. We start with the Blue Jackets at the draft. Seth Jones, just an hour before the draft, traded to the Chicago Blackhawks for, Allison, correct me if I get this wrong.
Oh, this is insane.
Defenseman Adam Boqvist, 20-year-old, has already played a good chunk of games in the NHL. A first-round pick this year, which was number 12 overall.
Mm-hmm.
A first-round pick next year, which is protected against the Blackhawks giving up the first or second overall pick should they finish with one of those two picks.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, it would slide to 2023. That's fine as well. And a second-round pick. Now, the Blue Jackets quickly took that second-round pick, traded it to Carolina for Jake Bean. The Blackhawks, in return, got Seth Jones and the number 32 overall pick in this year's draft. So Columbus moved up 20 spots.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a first-round pick for next year. Now, I'm really excited about the guys that the players got in the draft. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk first, because I know you love this trade from the Blue Jackets' perspective, Allison. Tell me why you love this trade.
Well, and I've said this a couple places now. When the returns started to come out, and it was Boqvist plus a first, I was happy, because you know the Blue Jackets, as much as there's the quality of the player, and then there's the leverage that a side has in the negotiation to demand exactly what they want. And the Blue Jackets didn't have a ton of that. The player wanted out. Everyone knew the player wanted out. It's where they were. So when the first and Boqvist came back, I was fine. I was like, this is a good trade. When a second first comes back, and this is with all respect to Seth Jones, this has nothing to do with the caliber of player that he is. That's a whole different conversation. I was floored. Floored. And you add on top of it, the contract that Chicago gave to the player. I mean, just look at how much Chicago paid, both in acquisition and in retention. That's insane.
That's a insane. Pretty penny.
It's insane.
What was it, 8 years, 9.5?
Yes.
8 years, 9.5. So $76 million.
And a lot of it in signing bonuses too. So it's not a contract that's easily manageable, movable, should that situation arise. You hope it doesn't for the player, but should that situation arrive.
Yeah, and this is the kind of trade that I think when you really, if you're a Blue Jackets fan who has your, who is enthralled or at least on board with a quote-unquote rebuild, retool, refurbish, whatever the re-heck they're doing. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of dream, the trade that you dream about.
Yes, 1,000,000%.
Massive futures, the moving up. Jake Bean is a promising young defenseman, 23 years old. This Boakvist kid is a 20-year-old defenseman, very promising prospect, has really impressive skills, maybe has trouble defending. You'll have that. He's not playing with Werenski, mm-hmm. I think we can say.
Agree.
But yeah, so it's the kind of trade I think if you're Jarmo Kekäläinen and you hope you'd be able to make. Now, apparently, and this has not been confirmed by Seth himself, at least I don't think it has, it was down to Dallas and Chicago mm-hmm. as teams with whom Seth would sign long term. Mm-hmm. And part of Dallas's return, again, according to reports, would have been defenseman John Klingberg. Mm-hmm. Which, if you're the Blue Jackets, in my mind, that's not really what you're looking for here.
Right.
You're looking for young and promising and picks.
Yes.
Because you don't want to pay 26-year-old defenseman, 28, whatever they are. You want to pay them huge money for the next 3 years and then have them move on when you're just starting to get good. This is a grow with us type of build here.
That's right.
Clearly. And then, Allison, they have their number 5 overall pick, which they had by their own struggle this year. It was their own pick. And they drafted a forward from the University of Michigan named Kent Johnson. Mm-hmm. Now, Johnson played mostly wing at Michigan. Some scouts think he may end up playing wing in the NHL. But Johnson himself is convinced he's a center. The Blue Jackets insist he's a center. Michigan coaches think he's a center. Allison, for now, he's a center.
Okay.
There are people who think he may be the most skilled, talented, ultimately the best player in this draft because of his upside.
Yes.
I'm as excited about that. I love the draft, as you know.
Well aware.
As I am the number 12 pick, which is, and this is fascinating. I talked to Seth, I want to say it was like 4 o'clock on Friday, the day of the draft. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a, hey, what's going on? Tell me everything you know, because I knew he was kind of deep in it. It was, hey, when this goes down tonight, give me a shout, eh? Okay. And, you know, you always get the, yeah, I'll do that. You got it, bud. No problem. And he was great. He was gracious. And one of the things he mentioned was, it's coming down to the wire. And at this point, nobody knew he was talking to Chicago. So I read that and I was like, what the hell is he talking about, coming down to the wire? Like, there's no deadline for this. Well, there was. Mm-hmm. That signing needed to happen so that the Blue Jackets could trade him, because part of the fascination of that trade for them was being able to get the number 12 overall pick this year.
Right.
And it was because they wanted Cole Sillinger. Mm-hmm. And you could tell, and I think we talked about this last week, they were in no man's land for Cole Sillinger. I think we mentioned him on the podcast last week. Is there a way they can get to 12 or somewhere in that midsection? How can they get back in there and get this player whose father played for the organization, that the organization, by all accounts, really, really loved? So part of the deal with Chicago was to get their number 12 pick. That worked out perfectly. And Sillinger falls to number 12. And this is a kid. If Johnson is their number one center in 3 years, Sillinger could be their number two center by then for sure. And they may have drafted their top two centermen. Sillinger's a really impressive kid. And he's one of those kids, I think it was Buchagross at the draft said, he was born to do this. And he's just one of those Canadian kids you get that sense from, where it just seems so, the risk of them not working out or being a player in the NHL just seems so minimal to me. And I know it's the draft. I know you can get into a lot of trouble making grandiose statements. But I feel like the Blue Jackets really made a couple of hits here with their picks, the two forwards at the 5 and 12 spot. Allison, now that's happened, do you care to weigh in?
I mean, just as I have said, I am not a draft expert, but the people that I listen to would agree with you. But, you know, again, I feel like I think it's exciting. I think the Blue Jackets should be proud of what they did this past weekend. It was an impressive effort, but you don't know till you know. And we'll just have to hope that these picks turn out to be the players. And it happens to every organization. This is not just a Blue Jacket situation.
Right.
But you just have to hope that they work out. And so I'm excited for them. I think the results are solid. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Now, Kent Johnson is almost certain to go back to Michigan.
Yes.
For his sophomore year. Cole Sillinger has played in the Western Hockey League. This last year played in the United States Hockey League because of COVID, and the Western Hockey League didn't play. There's a chance, and you're going to laugh at this, but I know some people who have suggested that it is not crazy that Cole Sillinger stick around for a long time in training camp and may even start the season here.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I know. Mm-hmm. It is out there, though.
Well, it's a good thing Jake Voracek's here because they've done that before to two young players.
Jakers. Yeah. Yes. Jake was drafted in 07 and came, his first year was 08, 09.
Yeah, but that was that whole class of players that they rushed too early. Brassard, Jake, yeah. It was that whole situation.
Jake was pretty good that year. Yeah. First round draft pick also for the Blue Jackets, number 25 overall defenseman, Corson Kulemans. And I have to look into this, but apparently he was named after Shane Corson.
Okay.
His dad met Shane Corson one night, had beers with him in a hotel lobby, was blown away by the experience and named his kid Corson, which is among the most Canadian things I've ever heard. And he is a 6'2", 200 pounder. He's going to Wisconsin next year. So he's in good hands there. As well, I think the Blue Jackets, let's get a general statement from you, Allison, because I feel like Friday, and I wrote this with some, you know, you put some qualifiers in there. We don't know where it's going to go. It all hinges on these draft picks for sure. And Chicago got a hell of a defenseman in Seth Jones. We should not in any way, make it seem like we're kicking dirt on his back on his way out of town. Fabulous player, fabulous kid. So maybe they win short term. I feel like the Blue Jackets had a day on Friday. It just felt like a day that this organization hasn't had very often in terms of everything falling into place for them as they wished.
Yeah. No, I think it was a very, very, very strong day. And if you look at all the factors and if you look at the general attitude that was kind of around everything, I think that this is one of the ultimate best case scenarios that they could have hoped for. And I think that what people feel now and the intangible side of it is that people now, hope is back. I don't know that there was hope before Friday. And I think that now there feels to be direction and focus once again.
Yeah. And so let's get to the other big piece of news here, because this, I feel like of all of the things that the Blue Jackets have done, this was the one thing that a lot of fans had a hard time getting their arms around.
Yes.
Cam Atkinson, and it's so front of mind that I feel like I have to say it, maybe the strongest ambassador for this city in his time here, the player that tried to convince Artemi Panarin to stay. He's invested himself in the community. He has been Columbus's biggest supporter, biggest brand ambassador, you might say, traded to Philadelphia for Jake Voracek. Now, we'll get into the hockey explanation of it. How big of I couldn't help but see it on Twitter. You can't read every response, but there were a ton of them. I saw a bunch of, no, surely this is a joke. Oh my God, how am I going to tell my kids? Allison, this one left a mark.
Oh, 100%. And I think, you know, usually when the trick of this one, too, is, and this is with full respect to Jake Voracek, usually when there's a painful give, there's an understandable get in terms of more right now goals.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem, too, here is that you could argue that this was not a necessary move. You could argue that they could have kept Cam Atkinson. And if we're trying to help Patrick Laine here, we keep muddling through and it is what it is. And you know, you bring in the personality of it. I mean, my gosh, the guy was in Nationwide Arena signing autographs, like not even 12 hours earlier.
Yeah. Right.
So you bring in the emotional element, you bring in my opinion, what the caliber of the individual and what he has done for the city and the organization, and the fact that he was not just what he said, but that he was someone who wanted to be out there pushing it too. And I, listen, Cam wants to be out there, and I think that's awesome. That's great. You know, do as he does a lot of good stuff. So if he wants to be out there making appearances and this and that, God bless. So I think, yeah, this, you know, like I said, the end of the era feel didn't really come for me until this one hit, because that was, it felt like all the tent poles were gone. And this is a guy that I think his personality too comes across as very approachable, very friendly. I think that fans are kind of wayward in terms of who they look to now in terms of a quote unquote favorite, or right. who are they going to get an autograph from? Who's going to smile at them when they see them? Who are they going to see walking around town? Just because Cam, whether that was factually true or not, that was the persona he gave off.
Yeah. Allison, if you think of it in these terms, you're better at thinking of it in these terms than I am, but over the last couple of years, how many Blue Jacket sweaters were 9, 77, 58, 71, 13, 3?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like almost, if you bought a sweater in the last 5 years, chances are that's one of them.
Yep, 100%.
Or one of those is that sweater.
71, yeah, you said 71.
Yeah, I mean, wow, this is rocked to the core, and it was unsettling for a lot of people. The hockey explanation, I have to say, makes some sense. Cam Atkinson is a shooter. This team doesn't have enough scorers, but they've got a lot of shooters with Line A at the top of the list, Bjorkstrand at the top of the list. Atkinson was that. And I think we've said this before, when you've got a player like Line A, they are a unique talent, but they're also a needy talent. And I mean that in this sense, they need something on their line to make them go. Mm-hmm. And with Line A, it's almost like he needs an extremely smart defensive center, and he needs a playmaking centerman and really good defensive players. Cam Atkinson might need the same. Cam Atkinson might need a playmaker a la Panarin. Good luck finding those. That allows him to be the secondary concern on the line, and he could do as he loves to do, which is get lost and find that space that make people fall asleep on him and strike like a snake. That's what he does. It's hard for that. So that's two lines now you've dedicated to being with needy forwards that are going to lead the way for you offensively. That's a kind of a hard way to live in terms of mixing things up, because Atkinson and Line A did not make much sense on a line last year. Voracek, you can't tell me that move wasn't made with Line A in mind, because Voracek is an incredible passer.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and that's what I said. I mean, that's... I don't disagree with the logic and the thinking behind the hockiness of the move. The issue is that this is not a team that is, in theory, looking to win a crap ton of games right now.
Right.
So that's where I think the sting comes a little bit too, is that if this was, you know, if only we could unlock Line A, we're on. Here we go. Yeah. And there are different motivators why they might need to unlock Patrick Line. I'm certainly not saying that should be completely disregarded, but you know, that's part of why this was a decision made to help a player who is a very talented player who can need a specific thing, but it wasn't essential if you believe you understand what the organization's goals are for the next couple years, you know. And I think I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, and we've talked about this. You know, I think what hurt Cam wasn't so much the absence of a playmaker, because as we all remember, his most productive year goal scoring was the year before Artemi Panarin came to the Blue Jackets.
That's right.
Is that he needs someone who creates a diversion either through skill or through physicality. I mean, go back all the way to when it was a Calvert, Dubinsky, Atkinson line.
Yeah.
I mean, there's God bless Matt Calvert and Brandon Dubinsky, but it's not talent that was giving Cam Atkinson all kinds of space on
some
that
kind
line.
Of talent, yeah.
So, you know, that's, there just wasn't, you know, again, you get rid of Josh Anderson, you get rid of Pierre-Luc Dubois, you don't have distractions to allow Cam to get lost. And so that's where I think he can go one of two ways with what he needs on his line. But yeah, it, hockey-wise, it makes sense. But even with it making sense, it, why, the thing that needs to be able to make sense isn't necessarily in line with what the organization's long-term goals are, and therefore it makes the sting a little bit worse, I think.
We should get to this. Foligno signs with the Boston Bruins.
Yes.
Very interesting. He, of course, has a history in Boston, gave money to the Children's Hospital there where his daughter had surgery, just as he did to the hospital here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. There's an emotional tie to that city. David Savard signs with the Montreal Canadiens. Alexander Wenberg, I'm told, signs with the Seattle Kraken.
Can confirm.
Michael Delzato has signed in Ottawa. What else we got, Allison? Anybody else?
Adam Clendenning signed in... Where did he go? Because I was just looking for it. Actually, it's been announced, but I don't see it on Cap Friendly yet. Let me see if it's been updated.
Okay,
he's gone.
I've heard Ryan Murray is close to deal with Minnesota. I don't think that's been announced yet.
Correct. Let's see, who else do we have who moved? That might be it.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned this player, and we should get to him briefly because he retired this week at the age of 31.
Yes.
One of the beloved Blue Jackets.
Rightly so.
Is the way to put it. Yeah.
Yes.
Matty Calvert retired.
Yes.
There are the two great memories, the two big moments that come to mind. The night that Rick Nash, the most surreal night in franchise history when Rick Nash came back to Nationwide and he ended up fighting Rick Nash. What? And the other one where he was struck in the face with the puck and came back and scored the shorthanded goal. Great pass from Carlson, by the way.
You're forgetting the third one. I would even suggest is potentially more important if you really get down to it than the New York goal. I'm dead serious.
What is that?
The first game-winning goal in the playoffs in franchise history.
Yes, he scored the first in Pittsburgh.
In double overtime. Come on.
You know what's funny, though? When I pitched those two to Calvert, those were the two memories he said at the top of his list.
Well, I disagree with him.
I'll tell him you said that. But overarching-wise, Matt Calvert, you remember the relentless energy and the passion with which he played.
Yes, and just a tremendous individual, and I think that for as fun as he was and as fun as it was to have him around, be you a fan or a member of the media, I think it's important to note too how smart and how thoughtful about the game he was. One of my favorite conversations that I still cite to this day in my points about face-offs, Aaron, is Matt Calvert talking about how part of what makes the face-off data messed up is that a center gets credit for work they may or may not do. That forwards are such a huge part of face-offs as well. And he wasn't, you know, looking to gain points. He wasn't looking to say that centers weren't valuable. But it was such an interest. I'll never forget it. It was such a fascinating conversation about how to really think about face-offs and how they really should be attributed and what really goes into them and how forwards support centers and back and forth. So a tremendous guy. He's done a lot for local communities. He's done a lot for communities where he's played. And I wish him best of health and full success in any aspect of life he pursues.
And this is a son of the prairie, too. This is a Manitoban through and through. I remember one fall at the start of camp saying, what happened over the summer? Did anything memorable? And he said, you know what? I just spent all summer on this deck on our house. It's like this monstrosity of a deck. I said, wow, how long did it take him to build that? And
he said,
I built it.
Yep.
Like, you know, here's a guy in the NHL. It's like, no, I'll do my own damn work.
Yep.
I'm not above it.
He's a beauty.
He is, by the way, going to be coaching with the Brandon Wheat Kings next year in a part-time coaching capacity to see how it goes.
tremendous.
He was a great Blue Jack and a great Avalanche. He was first a Brandon Wheat King, though.
Favorite stat ever.
And a damn good Wheat King. Go ahead.
Natural, shorthanded playoff hat trick. Wheat How King's- about that? Yes.
Wow. You got to love the junior ranks.
I don't care. Allison, it's a wonderful stat.
So I'm cool with Cole Sillinger making the big club this year, if that is to be.
Okay.
But I'm kind of hoping he – and hang on, I shouldn't put it that way. But if he doesn't,
yes,
I'm super excited because I'm cutting off that road trip out west, and I'm making my first freaking trip to Medicine Hat.
Yes.
I got to get Kamloops off the list. I got to get Medicine Hat off the list. I got to get Swift Current off the list. These great Canadian stops. I got to see them all. And this might be an opportunity. I'm going to have a beer in Medicine Hat in December. So
you're going to have to talk to Derek Dorsett, have him recommend all the local hangouts.
The hat. There will be Dorsett jerseys in every restaurant in the hat. I bet.
As there should be.
As there should be. Indeed.
Yes.
Allison, anything else? God, what else could there be?
You feel like there's nothing more, and in 15 minutes, there'll be more. That's how this season has gone.
Yes, exactly. Well, thanks for being with us. We will talk to you next week. And it's been great. It's been busy, but it's been fun. Talk to you all soon. Take care.